My name's Ollie Clegg and I'm the rector of St Mungo's Church. Now it's good to be with you again this week, and we are halfway through a three-part series looking at three principles that will help us to continue to grow in this new season. So if you would call St Mungo's Church your home church, then I'd encourage you to go back if you missed last week and listen to that. That talk's called Abide. Now these three principles that we're looking at are Abide, Transform and Go. And they're all key to the vision I want to share with you on our Vision Sunday service, which is on the 28th of March. I really appreciate your prayers for that. I'm going to be sharing each of these messages as they are key for us in what I feel the Lord is calling us to in this next season. Now, last week, we looked at the word abide and Jesus' words from John 15. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. John 15, 5. And as we looked at that, we saw, in summary, we looked at how as Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, and that we are grafted into that vine by believing in Jesus. That as we continue to believe, depend and trust in Jesus, we remain in him. And as we remain in him, we bear much fruit in our character and our evangelism. And then lastly, as we remain, we see Christ's words, love, and joy flow into our lives by the Holy Spirit as he works in us. Now, one of the signs that you're abiding in Jesus is that you're hungry for more of God. You are hungry to spend time in God's word and in prayer in his presence so you can be fed and be encouraged by the Lord. You're hungry to spend time with the people of God so you can love and encourage them. And hungry to see others come to know Jesus and abide in him. And I know at this time it's really difficult, but one of the key things for us is in our house groups that we meet in our house groups and we continue to encourage and support and look for those opportunities which are often provided by the Holy Spirit to share our faith with others. I had one person in our house group said, I'm just bringing the word hope into the conversations on a regular basis, which I thought was a great idea because everyone needs hope. Now, I remember when I first became a Christian, after crying out to God, his love, joy, and words flowed into my life. I was so hungry for more of him. I went to prayer meetings, Sunday services, evangelism meetings. I read my Bible daily and prayed for my non-Christian friends to find Christ. Not because I had to, but because I was hungry for more of God, to encounter God in my life. And over the last 30 years that I have been a Christian, I've had my ups and downs, as we all had. But as I've looked to abide in Jesus, he has sustained me, spoken into me through his word, encountered me by his spirit, and it's helped me to remain in him. Now, when I came to Christ, it was like in an instant I had been transformed. Some of the things that I had struggled with and I had tried to fix in my own effort but had failed to, it just fell away, such as anxiety and fear. And these were replaced by peace and joy. But other areas of my life have taken a bit longer to transform. Now, the word transform in our culture today focuses on the change in a person or something's outward appearance or form. In this sense, a person could be transformed by their new clothes or haircut or a complete makeover. But it also could refer to something like a car or a house. The car has a new appearance by it being spray painted or a house being remodeled or redecorated. These will bring transformation. And transformation is the word that I want to focus on. Now, as we've just talked about, those things focus on human activity. From this, we could easily think that the word transform, when used in the Bible, focuses on how we can change our behavior so that we appear more Christ-like. But the reality is that we cannot bring any lasting transformation in our lives as Christians without turning to Jesus and abiding in him, continuing to abide in him, and allowing the Holy Spirit to bring about that transformation in us. The Holy Spirit is key in bringing about transformation in our lives. And without him, nothing of any lasting or eternal value will occur. Now, Gordon Fee writes this in his book, The Empowering Presence of God. He says this, for Paul, Christians' life not only begins by means of the Spirit, The whole of the Christian life is a matter of the Spirit. In Galatians 3:3, Paul asks a rhetorical question. He says, having been made a beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now hoping to be made complete in the flesh? And the expected answer that he's hoping for is, of course not. Now, one must finish in the same way as one begun, through the empowering and approaching work or appointing work of the Spirit. And that was Gordon Fee. So we see that the Spirit is crucial in not just our conversion, but in our continued transformation as a Christian. And we see here that in Galatians, although having started a good race by coming to Christ by the Spirit, as they continue to move forward, they do so in their own effort, in their flesh. And that's what Paul says. You started so well, but why are you going back to your flesh? Why are you going back to relying on what you can do rather than what the Spirit can do in you? Instead of being saved and then continuing to be transformed by the Holy Spirit's work in them, they had gone back to observe the law and to human effort. And we know that brings no lasting change. It just creates a whole lot of effort. Now, Paul makes it clear that without relying on the Spirit, they are not going to achieve anything. The Holy Spirit is therefore key in our lives as Christians if we're going to be transformed. And I just want to say that transformation as a Christian is very natural. It's actually in our DNA that we that's who we are. As we come to Christ and he continues us, as we abide in him, the Holy Spirit works in us, we're going to be transformed. It's as much a surety as, you know, a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. That's how assured it is. And that's why the Holy Spirit is key. He wants to do that in us. And as we abide in Christ, then we'll be transformed. We'll bear much fruit. Now, you could suggest that transformation occurs in the believer by the Holy Spirit in two main stages. The first probably brings about the biggest transformation in our lives when we come to Christ. And Paul makes it very clear that transformation that occurred in his life at his conversion, which also occurs in our lives as we place our faith in Jesus, in Galatians 2:20. This is what Paul said about his conversion. He said, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. And I'd really encourage you to underline that and look at that verse. Now, John Stott writes about this verse, Galatians 2:20. Once we've been united with Christ in his death, our old life is finished. It's ridiculous to suggest that we could ever go back to it. Besides, we have risen to a new life. In one sense, we live this new life through faith in Christ. In another sense, it is not we who live at all, but Christ who lives in us. And living in us, he gives us new desires for holiness, for God, and for heaven. It is not that we cannot sin again. We can, but we do not want to. The whole tenor of our life has changed. Everything is different now because we ourselves are different. See how daringly Paul makes it. Christ gave himself for me. Christ lives in me. No Christian who has grasped these truths could ever seriously contemplate reverting to the old life. By being crucified in Christ and receiving life in Christ, we have received a new identity, a new status, and all through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. For any believer, Christ now lives in them by his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and it is through him that the second stage of transformation occurs in our lives. So the first one was our conversion. But the second is the continued transformation of our lives. The second phase of transformation is that we become more like Christ. And Paul writes about this in 2 Corinthians 3, 7 to 18, which is quite a complicated couple of verses, but just bear with me. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now, this is a complicated couple of verses, looking back to Moses after he'd been in the presence of God. But what I think Paul is talking about is that as we turn to the Lord, we are given new life, and the Spirit comes and lives in us, brings us freedom. Freedom from the law, freedom to live, freedom from sin. And it is by the Spirit's work in us that we are transformed to become more like Jesus. We are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. Now, what does it mean to be transformed into his likeness, into Jesus' likeness? Now, if you're a new Christian, don't worry. It doesn't mean that you're going to start to grow a beard or you're going to have to go and buy sandals. It's not like that. What I think Paul is getting at is that as the Spirit lives in us, he transforms us as we partner with him, which produces his fruit, the fruit of the Spirit that we so evidently saw in Jesus' life. Paul tells us what the fruit of the Spirit is in Galatians 5, 22 to 25, when he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires, since we live by the Spirit. Let us keep in step with the Spirit." Now, I mentioned that some things in my life changed instantly when I came to Christ and was transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit. But other things have taken a lot longer. A big part of that has been in my thinking. Malcolm, when he preached on Romans 12, 2 recently, mentioned how it's the Holy Spirit's work or job to renew our minds. Romans 12, 2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern, the thinking of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Now, over the years, the Holy Spirit has put his finger on patterns of thinking in my life that are unhelpful in my life, and certainly and even oppose what God's word says about me. But as I have partnered with the Holy Spirit, as he showed me these things, whether through a prophetic word or a friend, or as I just read scripture, I've been transformed by the renewing of my mind, replacing those lies, those things which oppose, truths which oppose themselves against God's truth about what God says, and putting God's truth into my life. Your friend talked about putting on the armor of God recently in one of our house groups, and I do this regularly. One particularly part of the armor that helped me in my thinking was the belt of truth. And as I put it on, I would declare this: God is who he says he is. I am who God says I am. God can do what he says he will do, and I can do what God says I can do. And in those times, I would pause and just allow the Holy Spirit to show me any way I was thinking in opposition to those in my thinking. So we see, if we want to continue to be transformed, to become more like Jesus, we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. As we continue to abide in Christ, the Holy Spirit will continue to transform us into the likeness of Christ. And one of the signs that we are abiding in Christ is that we're hungry for God, as I mentioned at the start. I mentioned there have been times in my own life that my hunger for God was not as strong at other times. I don't know how you're finding it in COVID, but there's a kind of corona coaster. And we all go through times like this. I found the last year really difficult at points because of COVID. But what I do know that as I have looked to God and remained in Jesus, abided in him, he has met me and provided what I need and that transformation to take me forward. Now, often our hunger doesn't just drop off a cliff. Our hunger slowly kind of goes. And some of the things that can slowly eradicate and erase and get away our hunger for God are things such as doubt, which we do not deal with, which can take hold of us. We don't talk with friends, and it just becomes so much that it just takes our faith, our hunger away from God. Maybe a personal suffering or that of a friend or family member where there is no easy answers. Or a disappointment in life that as we focus on and don't bring to the Lord really starts to wear us down. Or it could be even idolatry, which might seem like nothing at first, but slowly replaces God in our life. Or even that we just become too comfortable, and the thought of telling someone about Jesus or or, you know, showing someone about what you're struggling with, a friend, is just too much and we become too comfortable. And that's something we all have to watch. We may well still be watching church online, we may even be reading our Bible, but the hunger, the passion for God and his transforming work of the Holy Spirit in our lives has kind of gone down. And, you know, in the past when you heard a testimony, you might have like, wow, you might have been crying. But now it's just like, whatever. You know, I think this is what Paul was addressing in the church in Ephesus when he wrote to them in Ephesians 4, 22 to 24, when he says this, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which has been corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." I think it looks like that their first passion and hunger for Jesus had slowly started to wane. And Paul is reminding them to live from their new self and not from their old self, gratifying their fleshly desires and abiding in Christ and living by the Spirit. You know, I want to encourage you that as you look at your life today, if you see that maybe your passion has waned or it's gone and you no longer are hungry for the Lord, and you're just living in the former way of life, maybe because you've become too comfortable. I don't want to speak judgment. All I'm saying is just look at your life. Allow the Holy Spirit to show you. There have been times in my life that I've been there too. And I want you just to be real with God this morning. You know, I remember a time when I was living more with regard for my former way of life than living in my new self in Christ. Now, God, in his amazing grace, sent a friend to me, a friend from quite a distant shore. And I remember sitting in a pub chatting away, and he had asked me how I was, so I shared. And not being too concerned, I just opened up and just started to tell him how I felt. And as we chatted, I felt the Lord, the Holy Spirit, come on me and show me by what I was saying, what my focus was on, that I had lost my passion and my hunger for God, that I was no longer abiding. And that was quite a painful moment for me because I hadn't realized it happened. It happened so slowly that all of a sudden I just realized that I wasn't talking to people about Jesus, that the Bible, my Bible reading had just become pretty dry, that my prayer life was really lacking. And we talked a bit more about it. And then I prayed and I asked God for his forgiveness and asked his Holy Spirit to come and continue his transformation work in my life. You know, we can all so easily drift from the place of being hungry for God to suddenly waking up one day and realize we weren't. God knows where you are with him today. He knows whether you are abiding and hungry for him to bring about transformation in your life, to see the kingdom come, or that you are living with regard to your former self. When I was thinking and praying about this sermon in preparation for writing it, I was reminded of the father running out to hug and kiss his son who had wished his dad dead by asking for a share of inheritance. You know, that's in the parable of the, I call it the forgiving father, but it could be the prodigal son. And in that, we see the heart of the Father for those who have lost their hunger, but yet who want to come back and regain that hunger and that passion and say, Holy Spirit, would you come and fill me afresh? I want to be hungry for you. Now, if the Holy Spirit has already been speaking to you this morning about turning back to him because you've lost your hunger, then don't waste another moment, but come back to him. The Father is waiting with his arms open so the Holy Spirit can ignite a hunger in you as he continues to transform you and abide in you. He's never walked away from you and he's for you. And I just want to offer some thoughts if that's where you find yourself this morning about how you can come back. The first thing, as I did in that pub, was to say sorry for the way I'd been living my life. The Bible calls it repentance, which simply means to turn around from the way you're walking away from God to walk back towards God. And you know, a way you could do that is to pray the prayer that I asked you to start praying in Psalm 51, 10 to 12 last week, where it says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. That would be a great way, you know, just even if you're feeling lukewarm, wherever you're, just pray that prayer. And then the next thing is to start to thirst for the Holy Spirit. You know when you're really thirsty after a hot day? It's just like, oh, well, just say, Holy Spirit, I'm thirsting for you. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You know, in Matthew 5, 6, remember it is the Holy Spirit we're asking to come and fill us afresh. He is holy and righteous, and it's he who makes us more like Jesus from the inside out. So we need to start thirsting. And then next, we simply ask him to come. Jesus wants us to ask for the Holy Spirit in our lives. Jesus said this, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, would give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then know you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit and those who ask him? Luke 11. Just come and say, Holy Spirit, would you come and fill me afresh? And then be prepared to yield to the Holy Spirit's leading. You know, there's no point in asking the Holy Spirit to come into our life if we're not prepared to be obedient to him. You know, he might show you a couple of things that you need to change in your life. You need to be ready to yield to his word. But on the other hand, you may be someone who is hungry for God and you want more for God, but you might have been finding COVID quite a difficult time. And here are a few suggestions you could put into practice this week in your daily life to just continue to allow the Holy Spirit to stoke up that hunger and that fire in you and allow him to change you. I would suggest start by thanking God for what he is doing, has done, is doing, and will do in your life. You know, on Monday morning, I woke up feeling like I just wanted to pull the duvet back over my head. I'm sure during COVID this season, you might have felt the same way. You know, after helping Laura get the kids ready and out the door, I went for a walk where I simply thanked God for all that he had done, was doing in my life. That then led me into a time of praise. You often find that thanksgiving leads me into a time of praise, praising God for who he is. You know, we thank God for what he's done and we praise God for who he is. I find it really helpful because it reminds me what God is and what he wants to do in my life. You know, his actions and his name cannot be separated. And from there, I started to pray in the Spirit, to pray in tongues. And it was really funny because, it was really strange because my soul was quite downcast, but my spirit was starting to feel real joy. And, you know, it shows you, we want to be living from our spirit and not our soul. And we want our spirit to infect and fill our soul and not our soul just affect our bodies, because it's not going to go well. You know, things might happen, you think, woohoo, but when things go down, your soul's not going to help you. It's only the Holy Spirit. And so praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues is such a helpful way for us to allow the Spirit to build us up, to transform us. And that's what it says in the Word, that as we pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues, it builds us up. It's a wonderful gift. And if you don't have it, I would just encourage you to ask for it, but not to get het up on it. Remember, it's the Spirit who decides who gets what gifts. You know, if I'd been indoors, I'd have probably put some worship music on or even got my guitar out and started to thank God and praise God, even by using the words of the song or praying again in the Spirit. It's really important that as you spend time in God's presence, you're ready to yield to the Holy Spirit's voice. And he can speak at any point, and we just need to be ready to yield to him. You know, it's really important that we allow the Holy Spirit to move in our lives. And maybe you are not a Christian this morning, and you've actually heard, I need the Holy Spirit. I've come to the end of my resources and I need someone to come into my life, because the Spirit is a person, to come into my life and help me, to transform me. And so if that's you, if you want to come to Jesus this morning, if you just think, I've come to the end of my resources and thank you, Jesus, that you love me. Thank you that you died on the cross for me. Why don't you just say this prayer with me? It's going to appear on the screen. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things that I've done wrong in my life. I ask your forgiveness and I turn from everything which I know is wrong. Thank you for dying on the cross for me to set me free from my sins. Please come into my life and fill me with your Holy Spirit and be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. If that's you and you've prayed that prayer for the first time, then please, there's an email that's going to come out, inquiries@stmungos.org. Please, my name's Ollie, please do send an email. We'd love to get alongside you, even if it's on Zoom or a phone call, and start to help you to follow Jesus and experience the Spirit's transformating work in your life. But maybe this morning you just want more of God. Maybe this morning you've realized where you are with God, that you're either kind of not hungry or really hungry or somewhere in between, like most of us are, you know, and you just want more of that transformational work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so what we're simply going to do is we're going to ask for more of the Holy Spirit. So why don't you just put your hands out right now? I'm excited about this, about what the Holy Spirit is going to do. Come, Holy Spirit. And we just need you in our lives from the start right up to the finish. So would you come, Holy Spirit, and rekindle that fire in our lives that only you can. We pray for fresh fire, for a fresh hunger, a fresh passion. Would you come, we pray, and would you continue that work that you love to do in us to make us more like Jesus as we abide in your love. So come, Holy Spirit. We love you and we want more of you and we want to keep in step with you and to live in the Spirit. Teach us what that means, we pray, so that the Father would be glorified and that people would come to know Jesus through our lives. Holy Spirit, would you do this work in us? And we just say yes to you this morning. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.